Got your barf bag handy? The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is on the air. A Medicare podcast to end all Medicare podcasts. And now, direct from his fortress of solitude in Cave Creek, Arizona, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Lazy Man, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I almost forgot the name of my own podcast here. That's hard to believe that I would forget anything so important, but ask my wife. She probably has a whole list. Anyway, welcome. We're so happy to have you joining us today. You're at a podcast that's designed to help people feel more comfortable about transitioning from Medicare or from non-Medicare to Medicare life. It can be scary for a lot of people. It can seem to be overwhelming. It's certainly complicated in many respects. And often people have tons and tons of questions. So we're here to help ease that transition and to help people feel comfortable about making that change in their life from, say, Obamacare to Medicare, or from youthful insurance, under 65 insurance, to Medicare insurance. So our effort here is based on and inspired by the book that I first wrote in, I think, 2018, called Medicare for the Lazy Man. Actually, the first edition of the book was called something else, and then I changed it to Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And that was 2019, 2020, and then I came out last year with the 2021 version, which is on sale at Amazon. And right now you can get a paperback for $8. You can get an ebook or a Kindle version for less than $4. And someday soon, you'll be able to get an audiobook. If you want to hear these dulcet tones whispering the same information that you would be reading, then you can get the audiobook. The only stumbling block in getting the audiobook is that Amazon is completely inept when it comes to taking the audiobook files and putting them on sale. I submitted them to Amazon for audio review on January 20th, and I can go look at that computer screen every day. It's been 3 months, more than 3 months, and Amazon still says pending audio review. And what did they say when I wrote them and I said, is this book ever going to get approved? Yes, we understand your question. Thank you for writing.
And then the third time, wasn't it something to the effect of, thank you for writing, Mr. Jones?
And that was it. Yes.
That was it. Yeah.
No information at all. And frankly, no indication that they're ever going to. And you would think, I mean, the thing sells pretty well. You would think they would want to earn some revenue from an item that they could have on sale, but they don't seem to be in any hurry to do that. And I can't tell you why.
Well, I'm going to put in one little, there's a little game I used to like to play with you called Stump the Insurance Expert.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite games.
I'm going to have one of those little questions for you now. And then I'm going to pull out the old ball bat and say, all right, now you got to get to work on Medicare. All right. So what category of books is your book is, number one on the list for many categories, but what other category is your book right up at the top pretty much every year? And why is that?
Oh, you're making me blush now, because I know the answer, and I hate to blow my own whistle unless prodded, and then I'll blow my own whistle all day long. But I believe you're referring to the fact that it's often number one in travel tips.
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. I know the audience that we're having with us today may have not heard the original reason for that or why you surmise that's true, but when I originally heard that Medicare for the Lazy Man was number one in the obvious category, Medicare, but also number one or number two, depending on the day and the direction the wind's blowing, in travel tips. I would love you to explain that to the folks.
I can't explain it, but I will surmise. As you said, it's an assumption or a guess, but I think it's because people that are Medicare age are looking forward to getting out and about, RVs or cars or whatever. I think they take the time to travel more than they did when they were younger, when their families were growing up. So I think when they're thumbing through books to read on the trip, they stumble across a Medicare book and they say, hey, maybe this would be helpful for me because I'm old. And that's my only guess as to why it would be so highly rated in the travel tips section. I didn't put it there, but it just showed up one day and I thought, what the heck is this?
That for some reason, Doug, that just tickles me. Now, do you have any idea what other categories that you're up in?
I have put it in 10 categories, but it doesn't show as highly rated in some of those categories. I will say that Medicare and Medicaid books is the category that I look at most frequently, because I would think, okay, if somebody's going to go to Amazon and look at books in a certain classification, Medicare and Medicaid books would be their classification they would look at. So I used to be number one or number two or number three. Now the audiobook never was rated that highly amongst all audiobooks, but the audio, the ebook and the paperback book, very highly rated all the time until this year. And then somehow I think my advertising has been less effective because instead of keeping the same title with the year in the title, I decided to just have a generic title that I use every year from now on so that it brings forward all of the five-star reviews, all of the reviews on the book. And so next year, it'll be Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, but it'll have a different year on the cover of the book, and I'll still have all the old reviews. That's my plan anyway. Watch Amazon figure out a way to screw that up for me.
I was going to say, the best laid plans of Doug and men.
Yes, absolutely. So it's entirely possible my plan will crash and burn. But I think I have not advertised it effectively. And so it has been more in the neighborhood of like a number five or six in the Medicare and Medicaid books classification. But boy, those travel tip readers, they like it too. So anyway, I am about to begin the Medicare portion of our podcast. I did have a hanging chad from last episode, but I'll leave that on you. I'll lay that on you at the end when I,
okay. All right. So I get to pick today?
Absolutely. That worked out so well the last three episodes. Let's do it again. I have in my hand an item.
We're going to go for the left hand today.
Oh boy. Here is the left hand, which is a pile of articles, Medicare related articles that I found. And I want you to look at what is on
the top five mistakes most commonly made in Medicare.
Look at that guy, though. Can you see the
My
guy?
God, I don't know what he's seeing.
That is one weird-looking guy. Something has frightened him.
I think I know what frightened him.
And tell me what that might have been.
He saw what the truth is behind Part C, Medicare.
Ooh,
now, given the fact that you're an expert, you'll have to translate for the folks. I'm leaving a little bit of a temporary hanging chad there. What is Part C, Doug?
Well, that would be crapola. It would be Medicare disadvantage plan.
Yes.
And frankly, not worth the crap it's written on.
That's right. Cases. That's right. And that guy, that fellow you just showed me, he just saw what that zero payment got for him.
Oh boy, my out-of-pocket limit is what?
That's what he What saying. The heck is my out-of-pocket limit? You know, I told you last time. What was my saying? I have a new subtitle.
Yeah.
Hang on to your pockets.
Oh yeah.
Remember that one?
I had forgotten that. It's eminently forgettable in many respects. Who wants to who wants to celebrate the fact that you might get ripped off if you get sick? Anyway.
Yeah, what out of pocket expense was like more than a new car.
Yeah, it was $11,300, so more than a used car. About
holy criminally.
So it is going up rapidly, and those people who sign up for Medicare Advantage plans are not told that. They're often unpleasantly surprised when they find out what their out-of-pocket limit is, and they often are given that knowledge when they are laying in bed and the numbers are being racked up on the scoreboard, and all of a sudden they're finding out the true cost of picking the wrong Medicare plan. Well, let's see if that's one of the five Medicare mistakes in this article. Number one, not knowing when you sign up for Medicare. I think what it should say is not knowing when you're supposed to sign up for Medicare. Life is all about timing. This is especially true when it comes to enrolling in Medicare. Turning 65 soon, then you will want to enroll during what the government calls your initial enrollment period, IEP. This 7-month period goes from 3 months before the month in which you turn 65 until 3 months after. If you don't sign up during your IEP, you'll get another chance to enroll during Medicare's annual general enrollment period. But keep in mind, if you enroll late, your monthly premiums for Medicare Part B, which cover your doctor visits and other outpatient services, will likely cost you more. All right, so this is an entertaining little paragraph, but it is not entirely accurate. You also, if you're actively at work, you do not have any obligation to sign up for Medicare at all, especially if you're working for an employer that has 20 or more employees on their Medicare or their medical plan. So don't let this kind of talk scare you. If you're actively at work, and let's say you have a spouse that's your dependent, neither of you has to sign up for Medicare if you don't want to during the course of time during which you're covered by your large group plan and you're actively at work. If that status changes, then it's time to start thinking about getting signed up for Medicare. All right, here's number two of the top five mistakes. Not understanding Part B and Part D, as in dog, late enrollment penalties. For each year you delay in enrolling in Part B, that means if you don't have any coverage, that means if you're not actively at work covered by your large group employer plan, for each year you delay enrolling in Part B, your monthly Part B premium may be 10% higher. The penalty doesn't apply if you have job-based insurance or are still under your special enrollment period. For every 12 months you delay signing up for Part D plan, your monthly premium may be 1% higher. That is not how it's figured at all. So another inaccuracy in this article. What they do with Part D is they establish the monthly cost, 1% of the monthly cost of a drug. It's kind of a made-up number, and it works out to about 35 cents a month. And so if you go 1 month past the deadline, and it's like 63 days. So if you're more than 2 months late in signing up for your drug plan, then it's going to be the premium as it would be plus 34 cents, 35 cents, whatever that arbitrary number is. If you go 2 months, it'll be 75 or 80 cents, whatever it is, 70 cents. If you go a total of a year, it's going to be about $4.30 a month as your penalty in addition to the premium. If you go for 3 years, it's going to be in the neighborhood of $12 and change per month, and that goes on the rest of your life. So I encourage all of my clients to sign up when you're supposed to. Don't let it slide, because if that penalty kicks in, it's going to be impossible to get rid of it, and you're going to take that penalty to your grave. You're going to pay it every month. And you know, some of these people with a lifetime penalty, they might live to be 110 years old. That's a lot of money that you didn't have to give to the government. So sign up when you're supposed to avoid the lifetime late enrollment penalty. Part D plans cover prescription drug costs. You won't have to pay the Part D penalty if you can show Medicare that you have drug coverage as good as that provided by a Medicare Part D plan. So then number three of the Medicare mistakes, the top five Medicare mistakes. Number three, not understanding your out-of-pocket costs. I just got a big old yawn from Randy. His mic's off, but you could still see that gaping orifice in the front of his head that was going, would you please talk about something more interesting?
Well, that out-of-pocket phrase just always gets me, because out of pocket, and you know, $12,000 out of pocket potential annually. That's not out of pocket. That's go to the bank and get yourself a loan. Yeah,
but that's only for Medicare Advantage or disadvantage plans. It doesn't.
Yes. Oh, I'm still crowing on Part C.
It doesn't
C,
apply
yes.
to my favorite plan, which is a Medicare supplement plan.
Yeah, something that actually helps you.
And it costs a reasonable amount of money instead of coming for your firstborn child. Anyway, so number three in the list of five Medicare mistakes, not understanding your out-of-pocket costs. Medicare does pay a large portion of the medical costs for its enrollees, but you need to be prepared for sometimes substantial out-of-pocket costs. Here's a breakdown. Now, premium. That's what you pay for the plan. Each part of Medicare may have its own monthly premium. Most people have no premium for Part A, which covers hospital services, and that's nursing home and other inpatient types of things, rehab and so forth. You will be responsible for the Part B for premium, which will be deducted from your monthly benefit if you collect Social Security. This year, the Part B monthly premium is $148.50. And it seems to ratchet up a few bucks every year. The deductible, before Medicare starts paying for the cost of your care, you may have to pay a flat amount called a deductible. Parts A and B in original Medicare have, and it's kind of weird phraseology here, Parts A and B in original Medicare have, Part A has a benefit period deductible. Part B has a calendar year deductible. So Part A, if you go to the hospital, you have to pay a deductible. That's typically, you know, it's going to add up to a large chunk of your first day in the hospital. And it's 1,000, I want to say 300 and something or other. Maybe 1,484 comes to mind this year. That changes every year too. And that's, and then after that, Medicare pays everything of hospital charges for the first 60 days you're in the hospital. Part B has a calendar year deductible of this year, $203. And Part B remembers outpatient stuff. Part A is inpatient stuff. And then copayment. This is a fixed amount you pay for specific services. Well, that copay doesn't apply when it comes to my favorite Medicare supplement plans. But we can discuss those plans at another time. We're here to read about the top five Medicare mistakes. So number four, choosing a Medicare Advantage plan that does not include your health care provider. If you decide to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, check with your providers to learn which plans they accept. If you have questions, contact your plan for more information. Boy, that sounds like a fun day at the beach. Who wants to talk to those people? Basically, the Medicare Advantage plans have a network. They have either an HMO where you have to go to the doctors listed in their booklet or you won't get your services covered, or they have a PPO where they'll rob you if you go outside the network, but you do have a little more freedom of choice. My recommendation is always to go to a Medicare supplement where no network of doctors is for causing a limitation. You can get to any doctor you want that's willing to see Medicare patients, which is something like 92% of them. So Medicare Advantage plans will limit your freedom of choice. Medicare supplement plans offer complete freedom of choice when it comes to seeing particular doctors, specialists, going to different hospitals, and so forth. Number five, and the final Medicare mistake on this list, is not taking advantage of open enrollment. Now, it says here, the annual open enrollment period, or AEP, annual enrollment period, it's actually annual election period. So the person who wrote this article wasn't real stickler for detail. Anyway, it takes place October 15th to December 7th each year. And during that time, you can reevaluate your health care options. Well, this does not apply to Medicare supplement plans. Once you've chosen a Medicare supplement, that plan is good for the rest of your life. And you don't have to pay attention to what Joe Namath says or any of these other morons. You basically will have that plan for the rest of your life, and it operates the same way every year. Now, if you are interested in the annual election period every fall from October 15th to December 7th. That's because of Medicare Advantage plans. You might have a Medicare Advantage plan and your doctor has left the plan. So you have to find some other Medicare Advantage plan that has doctors that you want to see. Or maybe you've developed a problem that specialists must treat. And there are no specialists in your current Medicare Advantage plan. So at the end of the year, October 15th to December 7th, you can look for another Medicare Advantage plan that has the doctors and the specialists that you want to have treating you. And the other thing is, at the end of the year, you can reevaluate your prescription drug plan, your Part D plan, to see if your changing prescription needs still cause it to be the least expensive plan available. In every place I've seen in the U.S., there are at least 30 of these plans available to an individual. So I go through a lengthy process on the government website to select the most inexpensive plan. And that's always based on, there's a lot of shuffling going on in there. And that's always based on the drugs that people take, as well as where they like to have their prescriptions filled. You plug that into a black box, you turn the crank on the side of the box, and it spits out all of the available plans, sometimes up to 35 plans, in order of least expensive to most expensive. And then I tell my client, here is the application for the least expensive plan. Fill this out, sign here, and you're done for another year. And then at the end of the following year, it may be that the company has changed. It may be their formulary has changed. It may be that they have a sweet deal with one chain of drugstores and not with another. And so I recommend that people take a look at their drug plan at the end of every year. I'd say you pour a stiff drink, and by the time you're finished that drink, you're finished with that selection process for the following year. But in some circumstances, it can save you a lot of money. So those are the five possible Medicare mistakes that people make, and how to avoid them. Some of the editorializing was provided by me, your humble host, and others. Other points of interest were on the actual article. It doesn't even say who wrote the article, but it was a little bit inaccurate in some regard. So, Randy, I don't know. That was, did you count on your fingers and make sure all five were represented?
You did touch on all five.
Oh, good.
However, I would like to point out that I think one of them, number four, was in error.
Uh-oh. Tell me why.
Make one of the mistakes that should have been listed, and I think it should have been covered in point four, is don't go within 45 yards of a Medicare disadvantage plan.
Well, that would be good advice for most people. You're absolutely right about that. And I'm ashamed of myself for not including that. So it should have been six mistakes that people make during Medicare enrollment.
Have you heard the latest from Joe Namath?
I have not, because when I hear Joe Namath, when I see Joe Namath on my television set, I change the channel or mute.
Well, I do too, but I had to find out just the other day what his latest and greatest offer was. And in addition to driving people for free lunches now,
oh, boy. There's more? This is exciting.
Yes, there. You get a free membership in the local Fred Astaire studio.
I thought he died. I thought Fred Astaire was long gone.
Fred Astaire is dead.
Okay.
So that's the kind of information you'll get from Joe, is he's out of touch with reality.
Oh, boy. Yep. Somebody still hands him that check. Every time he finishes his spiel, you can see that hand reach out from the side of the screen, handing him another check. Good job, Joe. Here you go. Here's another $20. It's like giving a monkey a peanut.
You know? I know. Absolutely. I agree with you. Well, you know where we're at now, Doug, right?
Yeah, we're at Hanging Chad time. I was going to tell you about
it. I know, and you've got one for us.
I do. A flight from, we were talking about flying a lot. I was flying from Las Vegas to Chicago, and I happened to get a bulkhead seat. So I'm walking through the plane. God, it was a beautiful, sunny, warm day in Las Vegas, and I hated to go back to Chicago. But I walked to the front of the plane, or actually, I guess I walked from the front door to the towards the back, went through the curtains, and there is my bulkhead seat. I was so excited. I normally like the aisle, but this was a window seat. But since it was on the bulkhead, I thought, no problem. I'll have plenty of room to stretch out and to make myself comfortable. Well, the aisle seat in this three-seat row was occupied by just the cutest little petite woman you ever saw in your life. She had to be like 4'11" and just really gorgeous. And sitting next to her was Hulk Hogan or somebody built like this guy was huge. And he was sitting with his hands in his lap, his fingers crossed and looking down at his lap. And his feet were both doing a tap dance. One was doing some sort of a drum beat and the other one was sending SOSs in Morse code. And he was just wiggling, you know, and this woman had her hands on his shoulder going, don't worry. No, she's whispering things to him. I couldn't even really hear what it was. But as I kind of slid in front of them to get to my window seat in that same bulkhead row, the woman said, sir, please. This gentleman is a nervous flyer and he doesn't really want to engage in small talk. So I'm thinking, you know, what the heck? But I said, okay, that's fine. The guy looked like he could squash me like a bug. So I'm not going to do anything to irritate him.
And, come on. Talk to me. Oh.
I'd like to talk to strangers.
You know, I haven't talked to anybody for 5 to 10 minutes.
So I just sat there and used the time to read and look out the window a little bit. And I read and looked out the window. It was like probably a 3-hour flight and maybe 3.5. So as we approach O'Hare, the angle of approach seemed odd to me. It did not seem like the normal, and we normally fly in and take a big wide swing to the south and land on a runway. And this time we're too close to the runway. We'd have to drop like rocks in order to be able to land on that runway in the normal configuration. And so as we flew past, without losing altitude, we flew past the end of the runway that I'm used to landing on. I said to myself out loud, which was a mistake, I said, holy crap, I've flown in this airport thousands of times and I've never seen an approach like this. And then I realized there was something going on next to me and I look over and here's this guy staring at me and the wife is hanging on him like, oh, don't get freaked out. And he goes, you had to say that, didn't you? You had to say that. I didn't even know that words were coming out of my mouth audibly. This guy was freaked out completely. And this little woman who looked like a tiny midget compared to this big hulking guy, she's trying to calm him down. And I'm trying to think of what can I say to this complete stranger that's going to help the situation. And he doesn't want to talk to me. Okay, well, let me assure you that this is not a scary situation at all, sir. And, everything's fine. He looked at me like, I don't believe you. You're just, we're going to die on this airplane. What the plane did was it flew out over Lake Michigan. And the reason that they give you about doing that is that they had to kill some time before it was our turn to land. In reality, what they do is they go out over Lake Michigan and dump fuel so they don't land heavy. But they don't tell you that anymore because of the tree huggers who don't like petroleum products dropped and, they evaporate before they hit the water. But that's just something the tree huggers don't like to hear. And the airlines are sissies about telling tree huggers things, even though it's reality. They don't like to irritate anybody. Oh, what if it hurts their feelings? So we just flew out over the lake, dumped a bunch of fuel and flew back in and the proper attitude and proper altitude landed and everything was fine. That guy still hated my guts for even putting the thought in his mind that it might be an oddball approach to the airport. So that taught me a valuable lesson. Don't be talking to strangers on airplanes.
Yeah. Especially big ones.
Oh yeah. That guy looked, he was huge. And that cute little girl he was with, I mean, that told me he was probably some sort of professional athlete. So she did her job, which was to keep him under control during the
keep him from running through the side of the aircraft.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my hanging Chad, my scared flyer story. And buy my book, buy Medicare for the Lazy Man at Amazon and leave a review if you would, please. If you like the book, don't leave a review if you don't like the book.
Speaking of reviews, I just have one that came to memory and then we'll go ahead and land the plane and sign off. You remember that one guy, where was he? Illinois, that gave you a one-star review because the postman wouldn't deliver it to him and hand it to him personally.
I don't know where he was, but I was in Illinois when I read it to you. And he said, yes. He said, if you want to get this one-star review taken off your book, you call the post office and you get my book delivered where I want it from now on. And so, yeah, I'll get right on that, sir.
I guess that was an interesting review. But the thing that comes to mind is there are a lot of people, when they have an opportunity to write something that's, I won't say uncontrolled, but unreviewed, they'll just pretty much write anything.
Well, I've found that the negative reviews on my book are kind of from scary people that pick their nose a lot because they don't come up with really good reasons. And in fact, if you read some of these reviews, you'll find that they're complimenting the book in a roundabout way. It's just like this book is too short and too easy to understand. So yeah, they give it a one star. But in reality, that's kind of what I'm shooting for here. Just the facts, ma'am. Just call me Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. That's all the reader typically needs. So, you know, that negative review can cause other people not to buy the book when it may be exactly what they're looking for.
Exactly. You know, we probably ought to plan to land the plane.
Yeah, let's not only plan, let's execute our plan.
We're going to land the plane. And for those of you in the audience, thank you again. We appreciate your attendance. We appreciate your attention. We didn't have to shush anybody or kick anybody out.
It was just a well-behaved group.
So go ahead, get to Amazon, buy your book. Don't let us down. We're counting on you because we haven't had our lunch yet today.
Yeah. And then we're going to take our naps and then we're going to get up and do this again. So count on hearing from us again soon. Thank you for joining us.
Again and again and again. Thanks so much. We're going to sign off.
Bye-bye.